Welcome, everyone. My name is Marvin, and I'm so glad that you've chosen to join us today for our online weekend services. I hope that you're having an incredible summer, and I'm so grateful that you've chosen to join us today. If you are new or if you're joining us for the first time, welcome. Thank you so much for being with us. We love that you're here. If you have a prayer request or if you simply want to connect with one of us pastors, you can contact us through the app or you can email us at the email address that's now on your screen. Our Christian Assembly LA app is a great source of information. You can download it on your Android or Apple smartphone or tablet devices. Speaking of that app, you can online on the app find out about upcoming events. You can access our daily Bible reading plan and catch up on all of our past weekend service videos on that same app. We want to say thank you, thank you, thank you so much for your giving and for your ongoing generosity. We truly are grateful for each and every one of you. We encourage you to give online through our Christian Assembly LA app, or you can visit our website and click on the Give tab, and you can find out more information there on how to give. You can also sign up to give online either through that app or through the website if you haven't already done so. For those of you who prefer to mail in your offering, you can make your checks out to Christian Assembly Church, and you can send that to the address that's listed below. We want to acknowledge that some of you during this service will make a first-time decision to follow Christ. And so if that's you at any point throughout the service, you can email us at the email address that's on your screen, or you can text the word decision to the number 52855. One of our pastors will personally follow up with you, and we simply want to pray with you, we want to encourage you, and we want to guide you in some next steps in your newfound decision of faith. I want to say thank you again for being with us today online, and I want to encourage you to worship with us and not just be a spectator for the remainder of this service. Today is also a communion weekend, so have your bread and juice ready so that you can participate with us in communion at a later point in the service. But now let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time that we have to gather digitally. I pray that you would bless everyone in their homes or wherever they may be watching this service, Lord. Fill us with your Holy Spirit as we pour out our hearts to you in worship and in praise. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now let's worship together.
One, two, three, four.
What a joy, what an honor, what a privilege it is to be together. Let's sing these songs of praise. Blessing, honor, strength, and power.
Blessing, honor, strength, and power. Yours alone now and forever. Love this world could never stop. There is no one like our God. He's reaching down to touch the broken.
That's good news today.
Mercy breaking through this moment. Faithful is the one who saves, worthy is your name,
oh God.
Cause oh God, the glory is yours, the kingdom is come and the battle is over. Jesus, in your name we rise and the glory is yours, the glory is yours. Oh God, the glory is yours, the kingdom is come and the battle is over. Jesus, in your name we rise and the glory is yours, the glory is yours.
Oh, the glory is yours. All right, let's sing. Throngs of angels watch and wonder.
Oh, throngs of angels watch and wonder. On that day when time is over,
we can hardly wait.
When every heart at last proclaim, worthy is your name.
Oh, God!
Oh, God, the glory is yours, the kingdom is come and the battle is over. Jesus, in your name we rise and the glory is yours, the glory is yours. Oh, God, the glory is yours, the kingdom is come and the battle is over. Jesus, in your name we rise and the glory is yours, the glory is yours.
The glory is yours. This is why all the glory belongs to him. There's nobody beside.
Nobody beside you. There has never been anyone, anything like you. Nobody beside you. There has never been anyone, anything.
Nobody. Like
you. Nobody beside you. There has never been anyone, anything like you. nobody beside you. There has never been anyone, anything like you. Oh God, oh God, the glory is yours. The kingdom is come and the battle is over. Jesus, in your name we rise, and the glory is yours. The glory is yours. Oh God, the glory is yours. The kingdom is come and the battle is over. Jesus, in your name we rise, and the glory is yours. The glory is yours.
Because of that, we sing this song in grateful hope. I have, cause I have a hope. I have a future. I have a destiny that is yet awaiting me. My life's not over. Thank you, Lord.
A new beginning's just begun. I have a hope. I have this.
This is why God has a plan.
God has a plan. It's not to harm me, but it's to prosper me. And to hear me when I call, he
intercedes for me, even now.
Working all things for my good, though trials may come. I have this hope.
I will yet praise,
cause I will yet praise him, my great Redeemer. I will yet stand up and give him glory with my life. He takes my darkness and he turns it into light. I will yet praise him, my Lord, my God.
My God is for me.
My God is for me. He's not against me. So tell me whom then. Tell me whom then shall I fear. He has prepared for me great work. He'll help me to complete. I have a hope. I have his hope.
Goodness and mercy.
Goodness and mercy. They're gonna follow me, and I'll forever dwell in the house of my great King. No eye has ever seen. Oh, he's preparing there for me. Though trials may come, I have his hope. I will yet praise him, my great Redeemer. I will yet stand up and give him glory with my life. He takes my darkness and he turns it into light. I will yet praise
Play, Bill.
Him, my Lord, my
sing, there's still hope.
Cause there's still hope for me today. Cause the God of heaven loves me.
There's still hope.
There's still hope for me today. Cause the God of heaven.
Oh, he really loves you and he really loved me.
There's still hope for me today.
There is hope, cause the God of heaven loves me.
There's still hope. There's still hope for me today. Cause the God of heaven loves me.
I will yet
praise him, my great Redeemer. I will yet stand up.
Takes my darkness
and he turns it into light. I will yet praise him, my Lord, my God.
I will yet,
cause I will yet praise him, my great Redeemer. I will yet stand up and give him glory with my life. He takes my darkness and he turns it into light. I will yet praise him, my Lord, my God.
One more time, we declare there's still hope for you and me today.
Is there still hope for me today, 'cause the God of heaven loves me.
There's still hope.
There's still hope for me today, 'cause the God of heaven loves me.
We celebrate that amazing truth today. It's the reason why we sing week after week, because of what God has done, what He is doing, and what He will do. I want to welcome you today. Thank you for joining us. My name is Alex. What a privilege it is to be with you. And one of the things that we so miss is we just miss being together. There's something that cannot substitute being in the presence of another believer. And so I wanted us to take just a moment as we're worshiping scattered throughout this city in this moment to think about someone who God has placed in your life who you're grateful for. And I want you to, right now, to take out your phone or to open an email, and I want you to just let that person know, I'm thinking about you and I'm grateful for you. Right now in this moment, I'm grateful for my wife and for my children. What a gift it is. I love you guys. I thank God for you. Why don't you do that even now? And as you do that, we're going to sing a song about what it means to praise our God. You know, we use the word hallelujah a lot in our culture, and it generally means that something's good, but it's a uniquely biblical term. It means to uniquely praise the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And we do that as a sign of rebellion against the spirit of this world that would cause us to fear, that would cause us to doubt. But we raise a hallelujah as we trust in the goodness and the faithfulness of our God. And so we're going to do that in this moment. Natalie's going to sing.
I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. Oh, I raise a hallelujah.
Raise a hallelujah.
My weapon is a melody. I raise a
hallelujah.
And heaven comes to fight for me.
So I'm gonna sing
in the middle of the storm, louder and louder. You're gonna hear my praises roar up from the ashes. Hope will arise. Death is defeated. The King is alive.
I raise a hallelujah.
I raise a hallelujah.
With your help, with everything.
With everything inside of me. I raise a hallelujah.
By your power.
And I will watch the darkness flee.
I raise
a hallelujah. In the middle of the mystery, I raise a hallelujah.
Fear you lost,
'cause fear you lost your hold on me.
'Cause I'm gonna sing.
Oh, I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm. Louder and louder, you're gonna hear my praises roar. Will arise. Death is defeated. The King is alive.
The King is alive. He's alive even now. So we're going to do that. We're just going to sing, raise a hallelujah right now in this moment.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For the Lord God Almighty reigns.
We sing it again. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For the Lord God Almighty reigns.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Holy, holy are you, Lord God Almighty. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. You are holy. You're holy. Are you, worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb, amen.
So we raise a hallelujah.
I raise a hallelujah with everything inside of me. I raise a hallelujah. And I will watch the darkness flee.
I raise
a hallelujah. In the middle of the mystery, I raise a hallelujah. Fear, you lost your hold on me.
So Lord, would your perfect love come and drive out any fear that would be taken root in our hearts. We pray that the light of your love and the peace of your spirit would come now and fill our hearts and our minds as we put our trust, as we lift our eyes to Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. It's in his name we pray these things. Amen.
Well, to my church family and to all who are joining us, so glad to have this time with you. I'm going to continue in our series to tell the truth and add one more message to that series. Next week, we're going to begin a new series, and we're going to look at life with Jesus. When Jesus talked about new life with him, what did he have in mind? What did he envision that would look like for us? Well, he laid it out in what we know today as the Sermon on the Mount. And so we're going to spend some time studying the Sermon on the Mount together and learning from that picture of life with Jesus. One of the greatest honors given to me in my life is to know and to listen to so many different people in our church family, to be given a front row seat to the discipleship process in your lives. And even in this current situation, as we're socially distanced and working from home, I'm grateful for every chance that I have to connect with you on the phone, on the computer, and even a few times in some socially distanced meetings. Recently, I had a string of phone calls and meetings that reminded me of just how different we all are. If you assume that we all think the same in this church or see the world the same, you are mistaken. There are times when I listen to some of us, and then I meet with others, and I think, if only you could hear one another. I hear different political views. I hear different ideas about COVID-19. I hear different opinions about masks or no masks. I hear different responses to the social unrest and protests. I hear about the news people watch on different channels. I tell you what, we are so different. It is a wonder that we could ever gather in a space like this and join our voices in songs of praise. It gives a whole new meaning to the songs that we sing, like Make Us One, 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 Living in Your Love, Love, Love. Oh, make us one, Lord, make us one. God has His work cut out in this church. And I've been reminded that we will always have reasons to divide, because division is the pattern of this world. Jesus said, "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And so I want us to look for Jesus to tell us the truth about how we get along in a world full of division. See, in Jesus' day, people didn't associate with others who weren't like them. If you had a different background, a different religion or nationality, or a different political philosophy, those were all reasons to divide in Jesus' day. Most people wanted to live in a kind of bubble, a family, a neighborhood with people who thought and lived just like them. Now, that was back then in Jesus' day. I know that is hard for us to understand today, but that was back then. Back then, it was too messy and too difficult to try and have friendships with people who weren't like us. People were very suspicious of one another back then. Back then, I know it's hard to believe because we all get along so well today, but back then, it was difficult to get along with one another. And so Jesus not only spoke about getting along, He demonstrated His words for us when He called and He gathered together His first disciples to follow Him. Now, there were women who followed Jesus, and those women were given places of honor and significance that challenged the culture of their day. And the men who Jesus called to be His 12 disciples and then sent out as His 12 apostles, those men also challenged the culture of their day. And so I want to tell you just a little bit about the 12 guys that Jesus chose and called to follow Him. Matthew lists them in his gospel for us in Matthew chapter 10. Verses 2 through 4, we read, "These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, whom Jesus called Peter, and his brother Andrew." So we got a couple of brothers. "James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John." So we have another set of brothers. And James and John were also Peter's business partners. So these four guys knew each other. Verse 3, Matthew says, "Philip and Bartholomew." Now, Philip, we learn, was from Peter and Andrew's hometown, and Philip was close friends with Bartholomew, who's sometimes called Nathanael in the Gospels. So the first six disciples that Jesus called and gathered into His group, they all are kind of like hometown friends. They're very similar people who knew one another. So far, this little posse doesn't look very challenging. Jesus has pretty much called a group of friends to follow Him. friends who are all Jewish, from the same background, grew up together, and are in business together. If Jesus had just stopped right there, it would be nothing radical. He would have had a very like-minded group of men who, for the most part, would get along with one another. But let's look at the next six disciples that Jesus called. Matthew's Gospel, back to verse 3, he adds to the list Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector. Now, let me tell you about these two guys. Thomas is a fiery, impulsive man. Thomas is the guy who one day says to Jesus, let's go says to the other disciples, let's go with Jesus and die with him. But Thomas, on another day, isn't sure that he can trust Jesus. He's impulsive. He's back and forth. He's kind of a fiery character. We all know a guy like Thomas. He's always questioning everything. He's skeptical. He's cynical. And he doesn't mind telling you about it. Thomas is going to cause some ripples. He's going to make some waves in this group of disciples. And then Matthew, the tax collector, what that means is that Matthew is a sellout to the Roman Empire. He's a Jewish man whose political philosophy is if you can't beat them, join them. And he made his living exploiting his Jewish neighbors. So the very fact that Jesus even befriended Matthew the tax collector was a reason for some people to divide and separate from Jesus. We go on from Thomas and Matthew to see James, son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus. These are two brothers again, another set of brothers. Thaddeus, sometimes called Jude, is very possibly a friend of the next guy on the list, Simon the Zealot. And they were likely both members of this movement, a political movement called the Zealots. The Zealots were like a religious militia movement that tried to organize rebellions against Rome. So when Matthew the tax collector, you got to understand this, when Matthew the tax collector sat down across from Simon the Zealot, everyone was aware that this was a tense situation. And then the last of the 12 men Jesus called to follow him was Judas Iscariot, forever remembered as the one who betrayed Jesus. And here's what we know about Judas. Judas was a thief. We're told that in John's gospel. And the name Iscariot might have been a family name, but it might also have been a reference to another political group in this bunch known as the Sicariots, who were a little bit more aggressive and violent than the Zealots. So Judas is at worst a terrorist and at best a thief. Oh boy, Judas, come and join my life group. Judas, I want you on my team. We would not expect these guys to write a book on how to build effective teams. How on earth did this group ever agree on anything, much less lead a movement of faith that is still growing 2,000 years later? These guys would have had trouble getting along over a quick lunch, and Jesus spent 3 years with them. So, Jesus, what is the secret? Tell us the truth about how to get along. We have all kinds of ideas of what the answer must be. More education. That's what we need. Well, we are more educated than ever before, and look at us now. We have even made education a reason to divide. Well, money, that's always the answer. If we could just eliminate poverty and give everyone ample provision of funds and necessities. Listen, the disciples that followed Jesus had nothing. A beggar on the street asked Peter for money at one point, and Peter said to him, "Silver and gold I have not, but what I do have, I give to you." And he demonstrated the power of God's love. Oh, money can help a lot, but money won't help us get along. Political action, maybe that's the answer. We'll find peace by opposition. That's what we'll do. We'll demand that we all get along. We'll unite by dividing. No, nothing. Nothing in this world has ever set us free from division. Jesus demonstrated the truth about getting along with his disciples. Jesus was well aware of this challenge that we face. He knew exactly what he was doing when he gathered those 12 men. He was setting the stage to tell us the truth about getting along. And here it is. Here's what he demonstrated to those disciples. They were each loved by Jesus, and they chose to love one another the way Jesus had loved each of them. Jesus said in John's Gospel, the 13th chapter, "I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples." It was not always smooth. It was not always easy. They did not always see eye to eye on everything. In fact, these men, these 12 men, they competed. They angled for power. They argued. They didn't always trust one another. But they trusted Jesus more than they trusted even themselves. And they watched how he loved them. And they began to love one another in the same way. It shouldn't surprise any of us to find out that we vote different, we think different, we hold different opinions. It should be no surprise that some of us like masks and others don't like masks. Some want schools to open and others don't. It's no surprise that some of us are going to march and protest and some of us won't. We were all born into a world full of division. We were all born into the patterns of division. We are all desperate for the forgiving, reconciling, redeeming work of Jesus. And the world is looking for the truth of how to get along. And Jesus said, the world will look at you for the answer. If you are a follower of Jesus, the world is looking to you to say, is what Jesus said, can we trust it? Is it true? The world will look at those who trust and follow Jesus, and the world wants to know if the truth Jesus gave us, can it really make a difference? Jesus demonstrated with his first disciples what was possible for all his disciples. He demonstrated what life with him is like, and it's not the same as the world. It's a different way of life, and it's only possible with Jesus. Only with Jesus would this band of misfits ever be free from all that divided them. Only with Jesus will Christian Assembly ever be a church in which people rise above the divisions of this world by loving one another the way we have been loved by Jesus. That's the secret to getting along. Jesus told the truth about getting along. And it's to love one another the way He loves each one of us. That truth will set us free. The more I see the truth of Jesus' love for me, the more I want to love you the way He loves me. We are, in this church, a conglomeration of wild and wacky, messy and imperfect people who have been called together by Jesus. We are not the same, but we are loved by Jesus. We don't talk the same, but we call on the name of the same Lord. We don't vote the same, but we bend our knees and confess with our tongues that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. We aren't the same, but we all come to the same Father through the same Savior. We don't look the same, but how can I not see myself when I look at you? Because we have both been offered the same forgiveness and grace. Do you not see my need the same as your need for Jesus when you look at me? That is His truth about getting along. That we don't look the same, but we look together for the kingdom of God to be manifested in and among us. That is how we get along. We are, in this church, a network of remarkably kind and astoundingly gracious and exceptionally generous men and women who are capable of great imperfection as we call out to one another and hold on to one another and lean on one another, pushing and pulling, running and stumbling, leaping and rolling toward the same truth of God's love. Love. That's how we get along. We are a church that will tell you every day that our hope is in nothing else but Jesus. Our best and most creative ideas are only good for one purpose, and that is to lead everyone to complete commitment to the Savior who loves them. We do not claim to know which political candidate will offer you the best life, but we know that Jesus offers you abundant, Spirit-filled, eternal life. We do not claim to have a perfect history, a perfect record. We proclaim a perfect Savior whose mercies are new every morning. That is the truth about us. We aren't yet what we will be, but stick around because we're following Jesus. He's not done with us yet, but we keep following, and that's who we are, and that's how we get along. We're a church that can only offer you community and friendship among imperfect people. We're recovering addicts. We're recovering narcissists. We're recovering perfectionists. We're recovering from fear and depression and anxiety and anger and disappointment and divorce and lousy attitudes and myths about self-reliance. We're recovering dividers. We're recovering sinners whose lives would be bruised and battered even more than they are had God not reached down His hand of mercy for each of us. That's the truth about us. And remembering that truth will help us get along. With Jesus, getting along begins on the inside before it is evident on the outside. In humble obedience to Jesus, I rely on the Spirit of God to help me treat you how Jesus treats me. The truth about getting along with one another is that we won't unless our one banner, our one slogan, our one hope, our one agenda, and our one truth is Jesus. I want your friendship more than I want your agreement. I want the love of Jesus to be the most evident dynamic in our relationships. I want to examine my inner life and motivations before I criticize you. I want to make certain that the words I speak point others to Jesus. I want to make it all about Him. And COVID won't get in my way. And politics won't get in my way. And prejudice won't get in my way. I don't want anything to get in my way of treating you as Jesus treats me. That's how we get along. In a world of division, Jesus has given us truth to set us free. And perhaps one of the greatest demonstrations of the unity that is produced by Jesus is what we call communion. When we gather around the body and blood of Jesus, when we do communion together, it's a declaration we make together to say, we need a Savior. We need forgiveness. We needed someone to make us right with God. And we know that God has done that through Jesus Christ. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, He was sitting around with that misfit band of men that He had gathered. And on that night, around their dinner, Jesus took bread and He broke it. And He said, as often as you eat this bread, you remember me. Jesus allowed His body to be broken, to be divided, so that He might mend it back together in resurrection power. And when we receive the bread, we're saying, Lord, do that in me. And after the bread, Jesus took the cup and raising it, He said, this is a cup of a new covenant in the blood shed on the cross for you and for me. And as often as you drink it, you remember that Jesus has made a way for us to come together, reconciled to God and reconciled to one another because of His sacrifice on the cross. And so you can now take the bread and you can eat it. You can take the cup that you have there wherever you are and you can drink from it as we acknowledge together, oh God, you alone have the truth of how to get along in a world full of division. Would you begin inside each one of us? Would you mend our broken hearts? And would you teach us how to love one another the way that you have loved us? That is our hope, Lord. That is our only hope. And so we pray all of this in the name of Jesus. Can you say amen with me? Amen. God bless you, and I hope to see you again soon.
Come, thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I'm fixed upon it, mount of God's redeeming love.
Here I choose now to remember that it's by thy grace I've come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus saw me when a stranger wandering from the fold of God. To rescue me from danger, interposed His precious blood.
Oh, interposed His precious blood, His precious blood.
So we sing, come Lord Jesus.
Come Lord Jesus, rescue me. Bind my wandering heart to thee. I return to thee, my King, my all in all, my everything.
Oh, Lord, your grace.
Oh, to grace, how great a debtor. Daily I'm constrained to thee. Let thy goodness, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts of love.
Oh, seal it for thy courts of love. Come, Lord Jesus.
Come, Lord Jesus, rescue me. Bind my wandering heart to thee. I return to thee, my King, my all in all, my everything.
This is our prayer.
Lord Jesus, rescue me. Bind my wandering heart to thee. I return to thee, my King, my all in all, my everything.
Prone to wander.
Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above.
Thank you again for joining us for our online services. We're so grateful that you're with us today. If you did make a decision to follow Jesus, you can email or text us so that we can follow up with you. And I want to remind you of our daily touch points and our digital discipleship that's available this Wednesday night. Both of those are available on all of our social media channels. You can find us on our socials at Facebook, on Instagram, and on YouTube. But now let me close us with this benediction right out of the book of Romans. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Have a great week, everyone.